The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Good afternoon and welcome aboard. I'm Jim Stanley in for Bert Harper, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to a new host of Exploring the Word. Now, we've searched high and low, but this gentleman is in Tupelo and in studio today, and so I just want to introduce you to Dr. Alex McFarland.
My home away from home.
There you go.
Tupelo, Mississippi. I tell people, and I really mean it, the friendliest city in America.
Amen. Well, we'll take that.
I believe it is.
So
glad to be here. Good to be with you, my dear brother Jim Stanley.
Well, thank you, sir. Now, as you can tell, Alex is still a little strained and that his voice is a little tired. He's doing a series with the American Family Studios, and that project is?
The God Who Speaks.
Oh, so you're participating in that as well.
Yeah.
Good.
And so I want to thank everybody. I got I'd say a couple of dozen emails or texts last week. I was out for 3 days because I had laryngitis. I didn't have a bug, wasn't sick. Doctor said, look, Alex, you drink water and rest your voice. It's not magic. So I was out, and I felt really bad, but I got a sore throat. So I'm doing good. Keep me in your prayers. We've been filming for several hours today.
I was going to say, now, he didn't tell you to just jump back in with both feet, right? He still wanted you to kind of take it easy.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see you're taking that doctor's advice.
You know, we North Carolina farm boys, we don't have good sense. Now, Jim, I'm no doctor, but I'm beginning to believe eventually the human body needs rest.
Right. Right? And it does.
Yeah.
Even you, with your stamina. Now, let me ask you this. Your lovely bride is a nurse.
Yes.
How good of a patient were you for her?
Terrible. I mean, she, listen, if she took a baseball bat and knocked me in the head, she would be completely justified. Because, you know, but I'm understanding we've got to be a good steward. What happened? I was at an event, and I was supposed to speak about 5 times.
Right.
And I spoke 11 times in 2 days and had, you know, all these people to speak with. And so I kind of got laryngitis. But I'm doing better and just so glad to be back. I do want to say we're going to look at the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 5.
And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of put a pin in the redemptive thread for these few days, because Bert is going to be out. And so, and we're doing this on purpose, because Brother Bert was really excited about doing the redemptive thread. And I think that I want him to enjoy that. And Alex asked me today about doing some Galatians 5, because we want to talk about walking.
Yeah.
And so we're going to look at that. I don't know that it will take us all week, but if not, I may come up with something for a day or so, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess one of the reasons I wanted to do this, Jim, is because we do hear from listeners who say, Alex, my Christian life is kind of up and down. You know, I have a time I feel close to God, then I hit a dry spell. So how do I have a consistent Christian life? Have you ever kind of felt like that? How do I really get a little more continuity in my time with Jesus?
Well, it's the difference between the mountaintop and the valley.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that when you look at that over the span of time that God looks at that, it's not for us where there are peaks and valleys. For him, he sees what he has us moving through to help us be a better Christian and help someone else, perhaps, as we disciple them.
Yeah, that's brilliant. He doesn't change. One good thing, folks, and oh, what a joy this is, God doesn't change.
Amen.
Hebrews 13, verse 5 says that he will never leave us or forsake us, but Hebrews 13, 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're high and low, we're hot and cold, we're on, we're off, it's not the Lord that's certainly he will never abandon us. But so what we're going to do, very famously in Galatians 5:16, says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another. Now, Jim, I want to unpack this a bit. Mm-hmm. But first, let's go back to the beginning of Galatians. And let me throw two things out here, folks. There's freedom in Christ, but that doesn't mean license to just do whatever, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And we are to have standards, and we're to pursue righteousness, but that's not legalism. So it begins in Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set us free.
Mm.
Standing fast, that's the implication of persevering. And we're to stand strong, we're to, you know, stand up for things. But in your Christian life, my dear friend, we're to persevere. Now, you're a little bit older than me, not much. How long have you walked with the Lord, Jim? When did you get saved?
I was saved at the age of 14.
Wow.
And now that's not to say I have followed him nearly as much as I needed to during that time. But I've known the Lord since I was 14.
Wow. And is it fair to say the Christian walk, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon?
It is, and that's where I go back to, you know, where I said a moment ago, that we see peaks and valleys. God sees our walk, and it's how we handle those things, because, you know, it's a difference. It's not just the environment around us that makes that impact on us. It's how we, and it's our choices, because, you know, even at 14, at 15, 16, 17, there were choices that I made that were not the best. And then as I got older, there were choices that I made that was not the best. But those were choices that I made. And God never left me during those times. I may have wondered where he was, but I think that's because I was not pursuing him. And I had lost that fellowship, that companionship that we have with someone whom we talk to daily, whom we love daily. And I think for me, that's how I see that. And so it really is a marathon. And it takes, just like a marathon, it takes constant training. We never arrive. We've never achieved. We have to keep putting one foot in front of the other one.
And you know, the good news is, if we fall by the wayside for a while, if we realize the Spirit of God, you know, taps us on the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and we say, you know, Lord, it just dawned on me, I've kind of grown cold, I want to come back. The good news is that whenever you and wherever you turn to the Lord, he'll receive you.
Mm-hmm.
I've shared this illustration, folks. The Boston Marathon, big, huge race, 5,000 runners. We knew a doctor who ran in the Boston Marathon, and he completed it, and he had a certificate on the wall, and he had a picture, and there was this throng of people, and he said, look, see that little dot? That's me at the starting gun. But when he finished, he successfully completed a running. He didn't win it, but I mean, yeah, he ran. There's not a throng finishing one or two. I said, look at this. 5,500 runners at the starting gun, but when you finished, there's just onesies, twosies. He said, well, you know, one by one, people fall out of the race.
Right.
Listeners, we love you, and we're so glad you're tuned into Exploring the Word, and we're going to get to Galatians 5:16. When the finish line comes and we stand before the Lord, we don't want any casualties.
Right.
We're challenging. We're preaching at Alex and Jim here. Let's not fall out of the race.
Amen. And again, even in the illustration you gave of the marathon, there are some that are walking and struggling and crawling to get to that finish line, but they do it so that they just don't give up. That's where we've got to get to. And I think part of it goes back to the society of which we live, where if we don't get it now, if we don't get it just the way we want it, then we move on to something else. And that's not how it's supposed to be in our spiritual life.
You know, after challenging, stand fast. Mm-hmm. There's this admonition, keep on keeping on. You get down there to verse 16. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. I unpacked that word a little bit. I got my Strong's Concordance, you know.
Amen.
Strong for the strong. And it's a word that means to make the full circuit, walk. We understand it's a journey, but really the calling is to every single day walk with Christ. Now, G.K. Chesterton, he was a Christian leader many years past, very influential in the life of C.S. Lewis, but he said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It's that Christianity has been found difficult and left untried.
Right.
Does Christianity promise that we're always going to live an easy life?
No.
Doesn't, does it?
No, sir.
But it does promise God's going to be with us every That's step right. of the journey.
If, That's
right. If we want to let him do the driving.
Well, and that comes back to choices. You know, we have to choose what we're going to do with God. And we have to choose that today I'm going to serve him. This hour I'm going to serve him. Because it's very easy to get caught up in the lust of the world. Because there are many things out there. You know, there was probably a huge disappointment across the country last night because the Dallas Cowboys didn't win their playoff game. You know, when that was all said and done. But folks, the hand of God is not moved by a football game. You know, well, both teams prayed for success, probably because there are Christians on both teams. Yeah. You know, but they encouraged each other.
Yeah.
And that's, so I think that's one of the things there is that we have to, it comes back to the simple choice and the lust of the flesh. And the reason I say that is because there are folks that when we think of lust, we think of it only in the as the adjective of looking at another woman or a woman looking at another man and
right.
you know that lust of the flesh. But folks, we can be lust is a passion, and it's a passion that's unfulfilled that we keep struggling for.
Yeah. And you know, the fallen nature doesn't give up without a fight.
That's right.
Does it?
And so the things we lust after are not necessarily the things that we ought to, because if you notice, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So the same passion that we try to lust after the flesh, that same passion is there from the Spirit lusting after us, because
sure.
it wants the very best for us.
Amen. Well said. You know, we've frequently quoted the late, great Vance Havner.
Mm-hmm.
He was preaching on sin and carnality. And somebody came up and said, Dr. Havner, you say that we're born with sin. I find that hard to swallow. He says, well, you don't have to swallow it. You've already got it. Yeah.
That's right.
Now, know this. When you come to Christ, there's the addition of the Holy Spirit living in you. But your sin nature, your tendency to be selfish, to be ungodly, mm-hmm. to tell a lie, it's going to arm wrestle the Spirit
yeah.
who wants to work in you.
Amen. Folks, stick around. We'll continue with our conversation in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16. And then in just a little while, we're going to get some of your phone calls as well. Good to have Alex McFarland in the studio. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Bert Harper. And Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose? If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Why doesn't God protect us from people who mistreat us? Dr. Tony Evans says he does, but not before he's through using them to help us. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Those of you who have dogs probably have a leash for your dog. Your leash for your dog grants him a degree of freedom. Depending on how long the leash is, that's how free he is to move about. But there comes a point where he wants to go too far based on the length you have allowed for the leash. He wants to go beyond what has been allowed. And so he pulls to go further this way when you don't want to go that way. When he stretches the leash out too far, he's going to get a neck ache because he's going to come against a resistance. He's going to come against the resistance. And if he keeps insisting on going his own way, you're going to jerk it back this way and show him you're controlling where this direction is going. The folk who are messing with you are on a leash. The folk who really, some of your bosses are on a leash. Some of your neighbors are on a leash. Some of your family members are on a leash. They just ain't hit that length yet. Because a sovereign God, when they hit that length, whoo! So then why is God letting it happen? Because God uses evil to accomplish good. That's uncomfortable, but God used that thing to bring me to this location.
Learn more about what God can teach you as you navigate the unexpected twists and turns of life. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Joseph, Detours to Destiny, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. And be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. Power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The Word of God is spoken.
Welcome back. Glad to have you along. Jim Stanley in with Dr. Alex McFarland. And folks, I want to thank you for what you did for Mission Preborn last week. It was incredible. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, and I will try and get that and update you in a little bit. But honestly, I'm not looking for an extra gift. I'm not looking to push you to do anything this afternoon. I just simply wanted to say thank you because, mm-hmm. Alex, one of the things that's very important to us is life. And so I think it was over 4,000 sonograms, ultrasounds, pardon me, have been sponsored. And so, you know, imagine if 4,000 ladies see that ultrasound and choose life for their babies.
Praise God.
So thank you.
You know the Lord will smile on that.
Amen. That's what we're hoping.
You know, that is one of our core values. And certainly not only as a Christian, but as an American, that the Declaration says all are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. In other words, they can't legitimately be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
The first, the right to life.
Right.
And so, and as I'm sure most people know, that when a woman sees a sonogram of her baby, the odds go up exponentially that she will not have an abortion.
Right. That's true. And I think it said somewhere around 80% of women, when they see the ultrasound of their baby, that they choose that life because they realize and recognize what it is. So again, folks, just thank you for what you did there. We genuinely appreciate it. And I know that the folks at Preborn do as well. I've been in contact with their leadership today, and Dan was on with us, by the way, Alex. He was on with us Thursday with Bert and I and had a really good conversation with him. And then some of the phone calls that followed that, one of them was a young man who had pushed his wife towards an abortion.
Mm.
There were some other circumstances there, but he said, and his testimony was so incredible because he said, you know, I've regretted that every day since then. He says, now I'm following the Lord, and I know that he's forgiven me. And so we tried to minister to him and let him know that if the Lord has forgiven him, then he needs to come to the point he can forgive himself.
Wow.
And so that was just a really neat experience. Well, folks, we're in Galatians chapter 5, and Alex is talking about walking today, and we're walking through this, and we were at verse 16.
Yeah, if you would, Jim, read 17 through 18.
Be happy to. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
We're either led by the flesh or led by the Spirit.
Right.
And here's one of the ironies. Those that are a Christian sometimes don't look like it. And sometimes that aren't a Christian sometimes outwardly do look like it, don't
right.
they?
Right. They absolutely do.
And so only you know, friend, in your heart of hearts, if you're allowing the Spirit of God to lead you. And again, anytime we point a finger, there's three and four others pointing back at us.
Right.
I think, Jim.
That's why I point with my hand.
There you go.
From the pulpit, I'll point with my hand, and that way there's nothing pointing back, because if so, I'd spend most of my sermon preaching at myself, which I do anyway.
Well, same here. Campus Crusade for Christ had a booklet that was really good called The Spirit-Filled Life. Well, they had another one called Steps to Peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this little picture of a chair. And either the Savior is on the throne of your life or self.
Right.
And I know you very wonderfully served with the Salvation Army, great parachurch ministry, Campus Crusade, a great parachurch ministry. And really, it's either or. I mean, it can't be both hand. If the flesh, if self is doing the driving, that means conversely the Spirit of God is not.
Right.
Is not. C.S. Lewis said either Jesus is Lord of all or he's Lord not at all.
Right.
So this Galatians is challenging us to walk in the Spirit. Now I'm going to come back to walk, but it says not to let the flesh, the carnality, the selfish sin nature, the self-directed nature. So to borrow Campus Crusade, I would ask you right now, if your heart and your motives, your priorities, your actions, your words, your reactions, if the you that is who you are when you're all alone and nobody's watching, if that were depicted in terms of a throne, who's on the throne of your life?
Yeah.
Self or Savior?
And, you know, there'll be some folks that say, well, this was written for that time period. You know, this wasn't written for today. This was written for the Christians back then. And Paul has talked about this before in Romans 7:15. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. Pardon me, for what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And so that's what he's talking about here, is that we're struggling against the Spirit rather than having that struggle against the flesh. And so as we walk this out day by day, folks, let me tell you, this book that was written for that generation is still written for this generation, because sin is still sin. And the amazing part of it, Alex, you'd think that people would get smarter, but Satan continues to deceive people with the same things that he deceived them with during that time. And let me, or can I move to verse 19?
Oh, yeah, come on,
right.
Man.
And it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, even murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I went 19 through 21 there. But when we look at the list of things there that was written for the Galatians, how much of that could be written for the American church today? How much of that could be written for the Church of England? And then as you spread it around the world, I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The same sins that they struggled with in Galatia, we continue to struggle with today. We have not gotten a bit smarter. Satan has simply updated the packaging to make it that much more appealing.
Oh, man, that'll preach.
So
we had a power outage a couple of years ago in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the houses had no electricity for several days, including the grocery stores. And I'll never forget, I went in a grocery store, and the smell was terrible. And the manager, he said, I apologize, but all the milk spoiled.
Right.
We got to get it out of here. If you can shop here with this odor, everything's fine, but the milk spoiled. And I was walking down this aisle, and I don't like waste, so I was thinking about, it was probably 50 gallons of milk that spoiled. Now, think about this. You could open every last one of them, but you're not going to get fresh milk.
No.
All of it was spoiled. You mentioned Romans 7. Paul's talking about the flesh, wars against the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, what I don't want to do, I do.
Yeah.
And what I do want to do, I don't do. He says, I know in my spirit, in my flesh dwells no good thing. So Galatians 5, 16, 17, through this grocery list of carnality, says, walk in the spirit. Friend, look. If you've tried in and of your own strength to defeat sin, if that's never worked, why do you keep thinking it will?
Somehow? Right.
Every gallon of spoiled milk is going to give you something that can't be drunk. If you want fresh milk, you're going to have to get something new.
Yeah.
And if we want victory over the flesh, we're going to have to do something different. We need the Word of God. We need the Son of God. We need the Spirit of God. Because,
mm-hmm.
listen, lest we feel prideful, 19 through 21, the works of the flesh are evident, and there's this long list. It's very similar to 1 Corinthians 6.
Right.
Look, at least two or three places in there is all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. We all live somewhere, or rather, we do live or have lived somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think it was maybe in Romans where he had the, or maybe it was Corinthians where he had the litany, and he said, for as such were some of you.
Oh, praise God. Past tense verb.
Right.
Were.
Were. And so that's why I said, we are either here and now, and this goes, I'm sorry, I honestly feel bad that Dallas lost last night, you know, and especially when the way that they did, with zero time left on the clock, and the boy did his job when he put it through the uprights. But I felt bad for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott graduated from Mississippi State University, and that's one of the few times that you will ever hear me have any kind of remorse for Mississippi State. But Dak is a young man who loves the Lord. And you can see how he walks through some of that. And, you know, it's just really neat. So I who have never cheered for the Dallas Cowboys this year, I watched some of the games when I could. But what I'm saying there is you think about some of the angry outbursts, you know, the outbursts of wrath that's covered here. Not saying that happened last night, but I bet there were fans all over the country who were participating in, what do you mean he didn't make that call? Look at that. It's interference and so on and so forth. But then you go on, there were murders committed across the country yesterday. You know, they're in different places, cities. The murder toll did not stop. And so I'm not saying that all of we did that. And then maybe for some of the Packers fans, they imbibed too much in their victory celebration. And so there was some drunkenness going on. Or for the Cowboy fans, maybe they had some drunkenness going on where they were trying to drown their sorrows. But folks, we really do. This impacts every one of us in one way or another. Because sometimes it's as simple as jealousy. You know, Alex,
yeah.
Man, you're skinny. You're a good-looking young man.
Oh,
you've got on a nice suit. I've got on a stretch shirt, you know, to try and cover everything
you
up.
You look great, man.
But those were choices that I made. And so, but I'm saying sometimes jealousy is just that simple. It happens in church on Sunday morning. It happens in church on Sunday night. A lady sees another lady in a dress, and the comments that are made, most of them are made from jealousy or envy, both of which are listed in this litany or grocery list, as you called it a moment ago.
You know, even among, look, we're talking to Christians.
Absolutely.
But, friend, if you hear somebody else get blessed, is there a tinge of jealousy sometimes? You know, I'll have people that'll, you know, say, hey, guess what? You know, so-and-so's going to speak at a conference. I've got to confess, there was a time when I used to think, well, why didn't they invite me? Well, and I had to get on my knees. I said, Lord, forgive me. Look, when one Christian wins, we all win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the marks of Christian growth is when I can celebrate with you.
Right.
That I don't want to be jealous because, look, it's not about any of us. The glory of Jesus, the furtherance of the gospel, listen, it is not about me.
Right.
It is about Jesus. And that's why John the Baptist had it right, and may this mindset be ours. I must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
He must increase.
Right. Absolutely. Well, folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley alongside Alex McFarland, and we're in the book of Galatians. We just read through verse 21, and here in a moment we're going to kind of turn the page and go into verse 22 and talk about some of the things that we can do in place of the things we ought not do. And that's a pretty good list as well. And this goes back to something we've said before, Alex, both you and I have said it before. If we take time doing the things we're supposed to do for the Lord, then we won't be spending as much time doing things we ought not do, such as being envious or jealous because someone else is being blessed. You want me to go ahead and read that for you?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I'm going to stop there because I know you're going to want to unpack that. And even if we don't get through the rest of that till tomorrow, we're going to come back and pick up some of this walking tomorrow as well, because we do want to walk and not run.
Oh, beautiful.
Do you like that?
I like that.
I didn't coin that phrase.
I give you an
A
for the day.
It's in the Bible somewhere.
Yeah, I know. So. Walk. Well, you know, there's 2 feet. It takes 2 feet to walk, doesn't
right.
it?
Right.
Just like a pair of scissors has 2 blades.
Yeah.
This walking, there's prayer. That's us talking to God. There's scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That's God talking to us.
Right.
And there's a lot that we could say. There's confession of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the intentional embrace of Jesus. Lord, I'm going to trust you and obey. Remember that old song, trust and obey?
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way. But verse 22, it begins with a part of speech that's called a conjunction. Oh, there's our sister and friend, Alveda King, on Fox News. In the studio, there's a monitor. Dr. Alveda King is a special friend of this ministry.
She is indeed. And, of course, today is Martin Luther King Day.
Indeed, it
so
is.
That's more than likely what she's being talked to about. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. By the way, Dr. King, we'll talk about that. But he says, however, in other words, in contrast to this, not carnality,
mm-hmm.
but something different. And we're going to talk about some of the character traits.
All right. Hey, folks, go ahead and give us a call if you want to at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 as Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
Do you feel alone in crying out for revival? Leaders all across this nation are joining you in that burden. And Graham Lotz, it's time to cry out to God on behalf of our nation and world. Rick Warren, there has to be a revival in the heart. Franklin Graham, my confidence and trust is in God sending a revival as a result of His mercy and grace. Tony Evans, only when we seek God's will with humility, prayer, and obedience will true revival occur. And Eric Metaxas, why should we doubt that a third great awakening could do the same in changing the course of history? So my friends, pray for a revival. You're not alone. Be encouraged. There is one big cry going up to God today for revival. This is Byron Paulus, president of Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
American Family Association, a ministry with a mission to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in her task of fulfilling the Great Commission. We couldn't do it without your day-to-day support. Together, we are making a difference. American Family Association. Find us online at afa.net.
The book of Daniel tells the story of God's people in exile, and this week, Alistair Begg draws wisdom from this prophetic book for the modern church as we learn how to live as aliens in a foreign land. Listen Monday through Friday to hear Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income, along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Isn't it good to know that the Lord who said, I am the beginning, the end, He will never leave us. He will never fail us, as Alex mentioned a little bit earlier in the conversation today. And as such, as we look at that, He is there all the time. And, you know, Alex, the other day when we were talking about the redemptive thread, Bert and I, one of the things we talked about was that this same Jesus who was present in Genesis 1 and then again in John 1, that same Jesus is still here today. And Amen. Even though He is Lord of the universe, He Himself said it was profitable for Him to go away so that the Comforter might come and be with us. And the Comforter, the fruit of the Spirit of God, is what we've been talking about some today as we walk through Galatians, the fifth chapter.
Beautiful. In John 15:16, some translations use the word expedient. In other words,
right.
It's beneficial that He ascended. He's coming again. But in this time, we're drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt and led, if we'll let Him, led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, imagine this, and we're going to get to your calls, folks. But let's say you play the violin. That's your hobby. You play the violin. And what if somebody said, you know what? The world's greatest violinist, Itzhak Perlman, however you pronounce it, he'll come and he'll coach you through the violin. World's greatest violinist. Would you like to be coached? And you said, nah, I got this. Oh, nobody would do that.
Right.
You know, why would you walk this journey called life without the Lord leading if we had that opportunity?
Amen. That's good stuff. Well, folks, we're at Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 22, And we're going to place a pin there for right now, and we're going to come back to that tomorrow. This way we can get to some of your questions this afternoon. And Alex, let me tell you, he is on hold, on fire, ready to get into 22. But he has graciously agreed to hold back, and we'll get into some of that tomorrow. Well, let's talk to Annalise calling from Arkansas. Annalise, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hello. It's good to talk with y'all again. And Dr. Shepherd, welcome back. And I listened to this show and called several times. And on your show on the weekend, though you sounded better on the weekend. Maybe it was pre-recorded.
Yeah,
but,
it was.
Maybe lemon and honey. That's what a lot of singers use for their throats. But anyway, my question was, is I'm in animal rescue and adoption, and I've had a bad history with someone that's in a place of authority at a shelter and bad history for 15 years. And I'd gone in to take some animals that had already been prearranged, but she's assistant manager, and she didn't know, but she dislikes me so much. She came out and said, well, we're just going to put them down. And I'm like, I don't think so. I didn't sit out in 28-degree weather to catch these three cats, you know, to trap them, and they're under my dresser for a week while I foster care them, you know, but I feel she just did it to hurt me. And so I cried for hours that afternoon saying, Lord, please help take these bad feelings I had toward her, even though, you know, I don't think she's a Christian. I think she's a bad person. So how do you, and we have to deal with her in rescue because it's about the animals, not us. How do we deal with people that, whether it's your coworker or boss or whatever, you know, relative, you know, I mean, if they're, you know, how do we, I mean, not just forgive them, but deal with them in good Christian faith?
Well, Annalise, I appreciate your call, and I'm going to let you listen to the answer on the radio, because one of the things that's hardest to do sometime is walk through that forgiveness and to interact with someone who causes you pain every day. But it's almost like the 70 times 70 theory, isn't it?
It is. I firmly believe it's not a cliche. Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And people that kind of their MO is malice,
mm-hmm.
and doing things that are kind of cruel, and this is cruel, there's a reason. So I know this is going to sound, you know, like very obvious, but you need to pray for this person.
Right.
And Jim, I think that we've truly forgiven somebody when we no longer want to get even.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it.
It is.
It really is. And as you think about it, you know, along those lines, maybe even though you have not, you don't feel like you've done anything, if this has been a long-running feud, for not feud perhaps is the best word, but if this has been an ongoing thing for 15 years, maybe it's time to ask the person, what have I done?
Yeah.
You know, tell me, what have I done that made you so angry? Or what did someone else do that hurt you? And how can I help you recover from it?
Exactly. Let me say this, and we want to be very prayerful, very mm-hmm. diplomatic, very much, you know, coming with an olive branch in our hand.
Yeah.
But I've had people that, you know, I'd say, hey, can I talk with you? Look them eyeball to eyeball. Offer if you can take them to get coffee and maybe have another person.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally, people will be a little more forthright when there's another set of ears there.
Right.
But say, look, you know, we're colleagues. Have I done something? And tell me, you know, what can I do? If I've offended you, if I've hurt you, what may I do? Because I honestly care about us not having any baggage.
Right. And you know, sometimes it will hinder the person who feels like they're being wronged. It may hinder them from growing in Christ the way that they need to as well. So, again, thank you for your call. And forgiveness is hard, but it sure is worth it once you've gotten to that point and you realize. And then after that, you know, it may be that you, if you've done all of that, if you've talked with them and you've done and you've tried to sit down with them with a partner, then it may just be best for you to make sure that any other time you have to interact with them, that there's always someone else there as well, that you're never put in that one-on-one position.
Remember, Paul said, as much as is possible.
Right. Be at peace.
Yeah. Some people, you're just not going to get on their good list.
No. Bless their hearts. And I really mean that. That's not, we're not, I know that sounded bad, but you know, there are some folks that have just decided they're going to be contentious.
Yeah.
And that's how they want to live. Well, let's talk to Larry Joe from Louisiana. Larry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Brothers, God bless y'all's show. I just in Galatians here with y'all. And, you know, Galatians is a, what y'all was talking about, it's a book of, tells a Christian how to conduct themselves in a daily life. I mean, it's really right there. But I wanted to thank Dr. Alex McFarland. I God bless my heart. Every time I hear him, I try to listen to him every time. Sometimes I need a question to ask, and I wish I could talk to him, and somebody will call and answer a question, and he'll give that answer. And I just want to say God bless you, Alex. You have mean so much to a lot of people.
Well, bless you, brother. I give God the glory. If that be the case, I truly, truly give the praise to Jesus. Mm.
Amen. So, Larry Joe, did you have a question for us, or was that
your... Well, no, I was just a statement, I guess, I wanted to make about Galatians. But anyway, thank y'all.
All right, brother. God bless. Thanks for calling.
God bless you.
Folks, we can get your phone call in at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Michael from Kansas calling. Michael, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, thanks for having me. I got a quick question and then a statement afterward. I've run into some areas of the Bible where an apostle or someone will say that you know already, and then it talks about something, and I was just wondering if you guys agree that that's telling us to look into the Old Testament to find the answer.
Well, I'll let Alex field that in just a moment, but I can tell you that a lot of the people that Paul was talking to would have come from that type of background. I found it interesting that Peter, you know, he spent a lot of his time doing his teaching, and Paul did a lot of his time with his teaching. But Paul was a Jewish Jew, and so he definitely knew the books of the law and some of these things. And so, yes, I do believe that. But also don't forget, some of these letters were written at such a time that letters were passed around, especially from the apostles. And so some of this may be simply from a prior teaching to another community as well.
Yeah, and... You know, Galatians talks about those that embrace circumcision. In other words, to God's grace, they're adding the works of the law.
Right.
And Paul says, and I love the wording of this in the King James, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians,
right?
Who has bewitched you?" In other words, if you've been set free, why would you go back to that? It's been said, folks, I want you to picture an image in your mind, this road. And on either side, there's a ditch. One ditch is called license. The other is called legalism.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the road is the balanced, healthy Christian life. Now, you've got to watch yourself. You don't want to fall in either of those ditches. We're free in Christ, but that doesn't mean do whatever you jolly well please. We have standards. We're to live righteously, but that doesn't mean that we're earning our salvation. Jim, let me say this. We're not saved by works.
Right.
We're not kept saved by works.
That's true.
It's free. That's why many call Galatians the gospel of God's grace.
Amen. Michael, what was your statement, sir?
Hey, well, the reason why I asked that question is because in 2 Thessalonians, Paul was talking to him and said that in chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." And so I was thinking, you know, that he's saying to the Thessalonians, you've read before what withholdeth in the Old Testament, so you know already. And so I've been doing some research, and all I've ever heard is men telling me that the Holy Spirit is the restrainer, and I've never read it in the Bible. But in Daniel chapter 12, it says, "And at this time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life. And I've been praying about this, and the Lord is telling me that Michael is the restrainer, is not the Holy Spirit.
I agree. You remember in the Old Testament, it says, my spirit will not always strive with man. I agree that the one that withholdeth is the restrainer of evil. That's why the tribulation is going to be so dire. I mean, there's always been sin, there's always been evil, but we've never seen a world where the restraining hand of God's Holy Spirit has been lifted.
Right. Hey, Michael, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Did that help?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, brother. Have a good afternoon. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, and we're going to talk to Josh from Texas. Josh, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, brother. I just want to say, Alex, welcome back, and I hope you're feeling much better.
Well, thank you.
You're most welcome. I always enjoy listening to your program every single day. I do, and I appreciated your teaching today in Galatians chapter 5. And, you know, sometimes whenever I know I've called in on another show last week or so, and I had something important to say, sometimes my words don't always come out as diplomatic as I intend them to be. But for those occasions, I can just simply apologize. I just realized, you know, in the countercult ministry, you know, reaching out to people in the spirit of love, reaching out to people, for example, that are Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or gay people, you know, I always try my best to speak in the spirit of love. But what I've noticed, and I've seen this happen a lot, is more and more people are not actually reaching out to these people in the spirit of love to share the truth, but what they're actually doing is they're actually embracing these people as if they're fellow believers, and it's like this church in Galatia, you know, that we're receiving these people of the confession, and their minds are being bewitched. And so in trying to warn people, it's sometimes difficult, especially whenever there are occasions whenever, for example, some believers are just not getting this point. So that's why I really appreciate the most of your teachings today in Galatians 5. And I wanted to ask you one more quick question, if that's okay.
Okay.
Have you heard of Carm?
Oh, yes. Matt Slick. He's a friend of mine.
Yes. I'm so glad to hear that. I wanted to ask you if you would put Carm on your website as a resource for Christians, because that ministry is such an excellent ministry in helping Christians to not only practice defending their faith, but also reach out to other people, you know, like some of the people that I mentioned before, in the spirit of love, and with and really handling the Word of God aright to be able to plant seeds of truth. And if you wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, they're a good ministry, Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. They're really good. Let me allude to something you talked about, those that call non-Christians brothers in Christ. The church at Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2, the Spirit of God said, look, you've allowed heresy to remain, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We're to love people, but tolerance of that which is clearly biblically false doesn't mean that we're to call what is unchristian Christian.
Hey, Josh, thanks for the call. We're going to have to go. We're coming up on the end of the show. Folks, here's your homework assignment for tomorrow. As Marvin Sanders used to say, we're going to pick up in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22. Your job is to read it, pray about it, and be ready to participate. Alex, thanks for letting me hang with you today.
Great to be with you, Jim.
All right, folks, stick around. My friend Tony Perkins comes your way next with Washington Watch, right here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.